It's Thursday, late afternoon, and let's be real. There are some weeks and some days when your work schedule or personal life can be tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, and sponsored in part by Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts of the Mental Health Happy Hour, Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Scott Shelby.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM, and iHeartRadio. We're here to discuss mental health and wellness. If you have any questions, comments, please call the Origin Bank hotline, 318-324-1500. I'm your host, Scott Shelby, alongside the great Dr. Scott Zentner, and one of our favorite...
Do you owe me money or something?
I thought you owed me money. I bought you lunch yesterday.
I probably do. And let's not forget our trusty Dr. Phil. Dr. William Riddle, who we hope will be a regular on this show. We're going to change that little intro and put his name at the top because he makes his show a lot more interesting.
You know, Dr. Phil N is he's actually becoming a regular guy here on the show.
A regular guy. Thanks. First time I've ever been called regular.
Well, there's always first of many, hope.
You know, boys, I'm sorry I haven't been here. I've been in the south of France for a few months, so glad to be back. Boy, it's cold outside.
You know, that song would be appropriate. Baby, it's cold outside. It's awful.
By the way, Scott Shelby.
Yes, Dr.
Just a quick one William about the wintry cold, the wintry mix we're facing here in North Louisiana. I heard that Humpty Dumpty's having a rough winter.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't be too sad. He had a great fall.
Okay.
See you, folks.
Yeah, we don't want to lose our audience too quickly, especially with the guests that we have today.
You know, ever since you told me that Dr. Graham is coming on, I've been so just fascinated with his background, his career, and just all the lives he's touching, the different aspects of his career and ministry. Tell us a little bit about Dr. Graham.
Well, first off, it's just it's a real honor for us to have him on our show and for him to take out what I know is valuable time from what is still a very busy schedule. But anyway, Dr. Graham is both an MD, a physician. He was trained in otolaryngology, commonly known as ear, nose, and throat, and then did another fellowship or residency, I should say, in plastic surgery, particularly focusing on reconstruction. He practiced for years in Shreveport. In fact, I had a garage apartment right next to his surgery center. We first became acquainted. He wouldn't remember this, but we were all fascinated in our class in our freshman year, and he gave an incredible presentation on reconstructive surgery, replete with slides, and we were just thinking, holy cow, you know, maybe this biochem will pay off if we can just pass it, you know. But anyway, he was in practice for years, and he probably, being the humble man that he is, would not want me to focus on this, but he, in 1977, on the day before Good Friday, Maundy Thursday, as it's known, he reattached a totally severed arm on a four-year-old boy that resulted from a freak tractor accident. There's so many things to talk about, but what's really fascinating is he felt a calling to change careers. He went back to seminary, became an Episcopal priest, and served many churches, including St. Martin's Episcopal. I think that was his final stop, which was actually a church Barbara and George Bush attended when they lived in Houston. I think they helped found it. We could go on and on, but I know he's also going to want to talk about his latest project, where he has either already obtained his doctorate in mind-body medicine with a particular interest in psychophysiology. I guess that's where we all come in. So, Dr. Graham, I tried to abbreviate that, and it's impossible. We just want to welcome you to the Mental Health Happy Hour. Thank you again for joining us.
Well, it's my delight, and I'm happy to be here. I hope the connection is good. We are very cold over in Texas, so no telling what the connection is.
But we hear you loud and clear.
I'm connected with you heart and soul, so there you go.
Well said, sir. We always like to say we are fond of having conversations with our guests, and I think the audience really has a lot to look forward to having you on our show. You grew up, as I understand, just in a small country town on a farm in north of Shreveport, and from such humble beginnings. You've gone on to do all the things that we mentioned and then some. Tell us a little bit about the beginning for you and how that evolved into your education in both medicine and ministry.
Well, Scott, I will tell you, not only was Keithville, Louisiana, you're referring to, where I was raised up and rode the school bus to school every day. I had to ride all the way into Shreveport to Byrd High School, where I graduated ultimately. And riding the school bus for 30 minutes or more, going both directions, is quite an educational experience, particularly if you are the smallest kid around at his age, and I was. In fact, my mother used to say concerning our medical doctor, Dr. Russell Rigby, that he was tall, dark, and handsome. Every time she said it, I thought I was short, blonde, and ugly. To be honest, I had no idea I would ever make anything of myself. Being short, they wouldn't select me when they would divide up the team, you know, for baseball at recess. They left me out. And I was stuffed under the seat of school bus many times by the bigger boys, mainly because I was probably doing something to annoy them. But life got better when I really graduated from high school and went to, of all things, Centenary College in Shreveport, Louisiana, which was a great place to go through pre-med. And I want to tell you this. You know, it's strange how things change our direction in life. I was planning to go to LSU because my older brother, one of my half-brothers, had gone to LSU and talked about it, and everybody talks about LSU. But I went to fill up gas at a service station back in those days when you actually filled it up. And the man came out, and he was a young man, and he got talking to me. I knew him. His name was Lee Popejoy. And Lee said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to pre-med in LSU. He said, oh, you're going to pre-med. You got to go to Centenary College, the best place to go. And if you go there, you will and get past Mary Waters in the biology department. You can go to any school you want to in medicine because everybody knows her. She's wonderful and tough. And so I went to Centenary College, and the reason I say that's important for several reasons, not only did I do well under Mary Waters, but that's where I met my wife to be, and I just have to think, God watches over you when you don't even know it, and I got the right woman for my life, and met her, Pat Stamps was her name, and we've been together for over 60 years, so I guess it worked, and I think God put us together.
That brings us, that is a great, I forgot to mention, perhaps your greatest accomplishment is your family. 5 grown children, I know one of them very well, and her husband and their kids, all of these great grandchildren, and I guess probably great-grandchildren. We're going to take our first break, though, Dr. Graham. I'm going to get these other two guys involved, and if after we come back from the break, if you can stay with us.
I can.
We've got a lot more to talk about, folks, with Dr. Graham. You're going to really like this show. Be back in a few.
Does your son or daughter have trouble focusing at school or even homework? It's not always ADD. Your child could benefit from occupational therapy. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
All right, we're back here at the Mental Health Happy Hour. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you all are having a great day in North Louisiana or South Arkansas or iHeartRadio, wherever you may be. We're so pleased to have our guest with us. I want to tell you, folks, Scott Zentner, it's been like Christmas morning for him all day. He's just been so ecstatic and exuberant about our guest today. So thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Oh, I'm happy to do that. It's my honor.
I'm going to have to duck out of here in a few minutes. I wanted to ask you a quick question, if I may.
Sure.
I understand that Dr. Zentner mentioned George H.W. Bush and the Episcopal Church. I understand they were founders of that church. What was your impression of George and or his wife, Barbara, if I may ask?
Oh, that's a great question. And the reason I love you asking the question is George H.W. Bush was, to me, the greatest gentleman. He had a wonderful habit that when he went to any and heard anybody speaking, he immediately, when he got in his car leaving, he had a notepad there. He would write a note and send it to you. When I give sermons there, I would get notes from him, often saying things like, well-crafted sermon or something like that. And I treasure those. But I want to tell you one other thing. On top of the newest building we had at St. Martin's was a star. It looked like a bright star with, you know, forked star. And if you remember, in his speeches, George H.W. Bush said America was with thousands of people who were like bright lights.
Thousands.
So I wrote an article that was in our monthly journal about it, and I mentioned it. And he sent me a copy of the article where I'd done it. And then to the right of it, he had written, you know, that he was flattered and humbled. And this was a remarkable man to do that. I will tell you also that every year when he returned at around Easter time and we had a like a table setting in the church for food, he would put on an apron and would serve the food and, you know, add water to people's glasses. He's the most humble, wonderful man I've ever known in politics. So you're right about him. And they said, though, when I would preach, and I guess when others preach, but when I would preach, he would duck his head down, and I would notice all these people kind of shifting around in their seats. And what I found out is he would say something humorous in relation to my something I had said, and other people were laughing around. I love that.
I love that.
He's a wonderful man. And George, you know, grew up in that church as well as his brothers, and the whole family was just wonderful.
Yes, sir. I remember in his autobiography, he and his wife started, I'm going to say June or July, writing Christmas cards because they had so many friends and acquaintances.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, that sounds exactly what I experienced.
Well, hey,
and we did. Sharing. We got a Christmas card every year.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that, sir.
You know, Dr. Graham, just it's just such an honor to have you here sharing just a little bit about your background, your career, and that story that you were just sharing with us about the Bush family and your experience with them is just one of many, and just incredible, incredible stories that you have, and yet you've, in addition to being a medical doctor, leaving medicine to be in the church, and now, being the president of the Mind Body Institute, and just tell us a little bit about the transitions that you had during your life, and how you decided to make such changes in your life and to have a completely new career path, it seems, at least three times.
Okay, thank you. I would like to begin that story by telling you I had a life-changing encounter with Christ when I was 35. I had already been in the church all of my life, but if you understand, it had not really turned my life upside down, but it did when I read a book written by Pat Boone. And the book talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And one night, as I was reading that book, I just turned it down, face down by my bedside table, and I said, "Lord, if this is true, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit." And just like that, it happened. And my whole life changed, and a few days later, my wife also received this infilling of God's Spirit that changed her life. And everything about it changed. I want to tell you, I was taking care of patients before, but I was an ear, nose, and throat surgeon, and I loved having a long list on the operating. If you go to the operating room, the surgeons have a list of their, every room has a list of the procedures in which surgeon was operating. I wanted to fill that list, ego, pride. But the minute this happened, I couldn't care less about that long list of people I was operating on. Instead, I wanted each patient, to receive the best possible care of love and to sense God's presence in my management. And all kinds of things started happening by doing that. Finally, I had started a Bible study for doctors in the hospital, and one morning I was, nobody showed up. Usually it was 10 people. Nobody was there. So I opened my Bible right to the middle, and I came to Hosea, the book of Hosea. And in that, I saw that God called Hosea to do some amazing things, which required him as a prophet, the very thing he was going to say, he had to live out. And what that was for Hosea was he was to marry a harlot. And I was just amazed. I said, "I can't believe God caused him to do that." I'm like, "My goodness." And when I went home, I thought, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I suddenly heard God speaking to my spirit, I'm calling you into plastic surgery. In plastic surgery, you'll see lesions and blemishes on people, and you'll be trained to how to take care of them. And then I heard in my spirit, and by my spirit, I will show you lesions and blemishes upon my church, the body of Christ, and I'll train you how to take care of those as well. Well, this was just amazing. We had a big house in Shreveport. We were well situated. But right then, I knew I had to give up what I had achieved and made in my ear, nose, and throat practice and go back to train in plastic and reconstructive surgery. And what I knew that meant was that I needed to go to the best place possible. And I had heard of Ralph Millard in Miami. He was considered the world's greatest living plastic surgeon. And so I told the Lord in prayer, I said, if you're the God and creator of this universe and you're calling me to be a plastic surgeon, there's only one person I want to train under, and that's Ralph Millard in Miami, the world's greatest living plastic surgeon. And if you are God, you can make that happen. Otherwise, I'll know that I just made that up in my mind and it wasn't you. Well, as it turned out, it's a long story, but it turned out I was able to get a residency under the world's greatest living plastic surgeon. And I had the most amazing experience there. I then went to Norfolk, Virginia, and did training that allowed me to be one of the first individuals in the world to train with microsurgery. And what that did, that set me up for that little boy when I returned to Shreveport. A little boy, 4-year-old, had his arm totally amputated. I was able to use microsurgery techniques that I'd been trained under. And I, of all people, the guy that was short, blonde, and ugly became the one surgeon in the entire world to replant a totally amputated limb using those microsurgical techniques. And that little boy, and his either that boy or his daddy has called me for 40 years on April the 7th, which was the day it happened, to thank me for replanting his arm.
That's incredible.
It's a really amazing story, Dr. Graham. Scott Zentner here again. I failed to mention in the introduction, like I said, I only scratched the surface, that you're the author of at least two books, Mold Me and Shape Me, and the one that I have a copy of, I'll have to get that other one too, Graham Crackers. I like the title, so fitting, Graham Crackers and Milk, Food for the Heart and Soul, and there's a chapter, I think it's the final one, about little Robert, yeah. And I tell you, even as a physician, to read that graphic description and what you were able to do, but then, of course, you give God all the credit for that. And, and what I love about this book, folks, you got to get a copy. It's on Amazon. There are 25 real stories, that have so much, inspiring scriptural reference that just matches up with the story, the lesson from that story, spot on. Yeah. And, when we come back, if it's okay with you, I'd like to ask you about maybe one particular story that really tugged at my heartstrings, and I think everyone listening, if that's okay. And, you know, sure. Also I asked about, of course, you've been married to Pat, wonderful woman, over 60 years, and you have your 5 grown kids, and I think most of them are there with you, and some of your grandchildren as well in Houston, right?
Right, absolutely. And
do you have great-grandchildren yet?
We have 19 total.
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, I'm really out of your daughter Ginger's going to spank me. I know she's told me that before.
If you have 5 children, you're very likely going to have 15 or more, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what happened. One of them married a Catholic, so we got a bunch of from him. That's the way it is.
Well, And there's so, you know, you're, of course, your priesthood was in the Episcopal ministry, a lot of similarities in the liturgy and sacraments. And I did, I think, touch on the fact, the significance, I think, that you made of having the opportunity to do this surgery, how everything came together on Maundy Thursday.
It became the Easter story for a lot of people, but on Maundy Thursday, we began the surgery at 8 p.m. It had just he just had amputated his arm about 5:30, so it was wonderful. We got quickly got blood reflowing into the limb. It had looked blanched and white all the time we were operating. And when we finally took the clamps off, it began to pink from the top down, and a shout went up in the operating room. You know, it was one of the most exhilarating moments of my life, and, of course, I think all of us. And what we saw was when a dead part, if you will, his arm that had no blood in it, returned to life. So it became the Easter story of resurrection on Sunday morning in many churches around the country. And Paul Harvey loved to talk about it, if you know anything about Paul Harvey.
Oh, yeah, I listen to him all the time. Now you know the rest of the story, folks.
Well, Dr. Graham, we're coming up on a...
But it was exhilarating and exciting. And I don't know if you need to take a break soon, but I can shift from this story to the next phase. If you want to take a break, you can take it.
Yeah, Dr. Graham, we do. We're coming up on a break now, so this is a good time to take a break. And we'll be back in a few minutes with Dr. John Graham.
As parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
Portico Bar & Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar & Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined Bar & Grill. The gang at Portico Bar & Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar & Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Bill Riddle. We have our very special guest, Dr. John Graham, is joining us today and just has so many fascinating stories about his work, his life, who's touched him in ways that's helped lead him to help as many people as he has, and also the lives that he's been able to touch directly and indirectly by his work in medicine and the church and in the mind and body. And Dr. Graham, you were finishing up a very fascinating story about replanting a young boy's arm.
Yes.
And it's just so, I've got so much curiosity about that process, but I know we don't have time to go into that. But can you finish that story up? And then you said you had another experience that you wanted to lead into following that.
Yeah, I do. I got a couple, but the one thing I want to say, Scott, and you'll appreciate this, and both you and William, if he's on, or whoever. I want you to, you know, many people think a physician is wealthy. In fact, somebody told me that recently, and I said, you just don't know. And in particular, if you do what I did, which is, if you will, follow the Lord, and it meant I left my medical practice, my home, everything, to go back and train in plastic surgery at a very low residence salary with five children, and then moved to Norfolk. And I want to tell you the truth, and I think people should know it. When I finished my training in Norfolk, where I learned microsurgery, and headed back to Shreveport, I had exactly no money, and I had to borrow $700 from my oldest son, who had had a paper route, and he had $700 he had earned. And that's how we came back to Shreveport. We had extended ourselves and done everything we could to make it through that period of time. All kinds of, when you give up a medical practice, you had financial obligations I was still committed to, and you understand that, with a house and every other thing.
Wow.
So I just want people to know, if you follow the Lord, it's going to be an exciting time. And I'll tell you one other thing. You have stories. Our children have incredible stories. And just a few of them are those you mentioned that I've mentioned in the book, which is entitled Graham Crackers and Milk, Food for the Heart and Soul. All right. I want to tell you the next step, though. And after practicing plastic and reconstructive surgery in Shreveport, Louisiana, and touching many lives, I believe, and being part of the church there, I felt every single morning I would get up and I would say, Lord, is this the first time you're calling me full-time into your work? And the reason I said that was, when I heard my initial call, it indicated I would be called into plastic surgery. But then it also said there was something to do with the church, and I couldn't figure out exactly what it was, and I didn't think it was absolutely fulfilled in my life yet. And so I prayed that every single morning. If this is the day you're calling me into from plastic surgery, I want to hear it. Hear what you're calling me to do. And a whole series of things happened I don't have time to share, but I will tell you, on faith, we left our medical practice, a hospital that we had, a small hospital that had 10 beds, three operating rooms. I left it all in place, and we headed out to Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California, to begin my seminary experience. And while I was there, and it's an ecumenical seminary, so it wasn't just Episcopal. But the Baptist minister who was actually on faculty and speaking about the history of the church. And at the end of the class, he said, folks, you know, I'm committed to the Baptist church, but I will say, if I had a choice, I probably would like to be a part of the Episcopal church. My wife and I looked at ourselves, because we had become Episcopalians in Norfolk. And so I went back and began the process of whether I could, you know, you couldn't just walk in an Episcopal seminary. You had to be approved by the bishop. So I got approval by the bishop of Western Louisiana. That's where we were, in Shreveport. And then I got in the Episcopal Seminary of the Southwest in Austin. It was a wonderful experience. Very quickly, the people heard me teaching a class. The class started out with 20 people and wound up with people sitting on the floor and standing up around the edge with over 100 people. So the Bishop of Texas said, we need you in Texas. And they worked it out, so I moved from Western Louisiana to Texas. And it was my joy, and it's been my joy, to serve for 15 years as an Episcopal priest. And then what happened is, they had mandatory retirement at age 72. I had to leave. I didn't know what I would do. So I went to it was a nonprofit organization for drug and alcohol victims of drug and alcoholism. I worked there for a year, and then I got called, if you will, invited to be the president of the Institute for Spirituality and Health. And that was in Houston at the Texas Medical Center. It had been a 65-year-old organization founded in 1955. It's now been a 65-year-old organization, over 65 years. And it has been my delight because it was all about mind-body medicine. It brought together my spirituality, brought together my training as a physician, put the two together in a way that I could never have imagined. And all I can say is God has a plan that is amazing. I never thought I would want to be, if you'd ever told me I was going to be in Houston, Texas, I would have said, I don't want anything to do with that big city. If you'd have told me even I was going to be an Episcopal priest, I'd say, I want to be a doctor, not a priest. God can change your heart. He has changed my heart. He can give you a plan for your life that if you just follow him step by step, that plan will unfold. It may not take you as far as mine has, but I will tell you, God is beautiful and loving. It'll only be good. It'll be greater than anything you can ever imagine. And that has been my story for 12 years working in mind-body medicine, which is everything related to spirituality, relating to how, if you have God at the center of your heart, why will that affect your health? Well, it does, matter of fact. It'll affect everything about your health. And I don't know how long I have, but right now I'm doing, while I was there in the Institute for Spirituality and Health, I was introduced to Saybrook University, which teaches mind-body medicine. And so a little over 3 years ago, I began studying to get my PhD. I decided I was just going to take one course to see what this was about. And I so loved the coursework that I continued, and now I have done all the coursework for my PhD, but I have to complete my dissertation, which is half complete, and hopefully I'll graduate with a PhD in mind-body medicine, hopefully this summer sometime. Well,
Dr. Graham, if people only heard the last few sentences that you're working on your PhD in mind-body medicine, they're thinking, oh, okay, I just tuned in. This guy must be in his late 20s, early 30s at the most. Would you share with the audience how old you are, sir?
I'm 85 years old and 85 years young, if you will.
You certainly are. I mean, just to listen to your story and how you know, you've taken on one challenge that led to another, all of this influenced by your divine direction from God, and it's just the Spirit continues to invigorate you through all of these dimensions in your career. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, Dr. Graham, I know that you've I'm speechless because what you've been able to do and accomplish in your life is just so incredible. And the sacrifices you've made to impact so many across this country and our area, you know, from Shreveport to New Orleans and Tulane, back to Shreveport, Miami, now in Houston. I'm just curious, what's next for you?
Well, yeah, let me talk about my current work with what's called HeartMath. By the way, the company is a nonprofit company. It's one word, heart with a capital M, math, heart math. And it's a nonprofit company, so it's not out there just to grab your money. It's trying to spread the news that the heart needs to be properly connected in, if you will, synced with the anterior frontal lobe of the brain. And that happens because the heart is surrounded with the vagus nerve, which is a parasympathetic nerve, which I can talk about. And that parasympathetic vagus nerve carries information from all the organs of the abdomen, as well as the heart, the lungs, the aorta, the carotid arteries, the pressure sensors in our carotid arteries. All that information goes to the midbrain, where the thalamus is, and from the midbrain to the frontal lobe, your anterior cortex of the brain. And the, because of stress, that connection is very much out of sync. It's not synced properly. And perhaps, if you will, just the way we live our lives, chasing money and everything else for notoriety and attention rather than seeking God, we are out of sync. When your heart is out of sync, your brain is out of sync. It's not coordinated. And heart math is a technique that they have, a small device that you connect to the earlobe to pick up the blood flow that's in your earlobe, or you can use your finger, and you then connect it to a cell phone and with an app because of the amazing technology.
Dr. Graham, I hate to stop you here in the middle of heart math. We're coming up on another hard break, so we need to take a break.
But we're gonna finish up with Dr. Graham's work in heart rate variability and the effects it can have on our health, particularly cardiac health, folks. We'll be right back. Thank you, Dr. Graham.
As a parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Well, we're back for our final segment of the Mental Health Happy Hour with Dr. Graham Scott. I don't know about you, but tempest fugit. Time has really flown.
It's really flown by. You know, Dr. Z, Dr. Graham's ability to tell these stories and just like they happened yesterday. And I know they're all in his book, The Graham Crackers and Milk, Food for the Heart and Soul. You've got to check this book out, folks. It is filled with story after story.
Scott's been perusing it during our breaks, and he's sold. And I'm only going to sell you my copy for twice because it'll probably be sold out by the time the show's over. But, Dr. Graham, thank you. Sorry to interrupt the work that you were explaining, these intricate connections between the heart and the prefrontal cortex and relation to the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, the fight or flight with the sympathetic and the more relaxing, you know, nervous system, the parasympathetic. But in our earlier conversation before the show, what this all leads to, as I understood it, is that cardiac patients, people particularly that you're looking at who've already had a history of a heart attack or myocardial infarction, can reduce the risk of another one by actually through biofeedback. That is to say that they can change actual physiological processes through practice and actually improve their cardiac outcomes. And beyond that, I can just imagine a myriad of clinical applications for the things we do with anxiety and depression, how that also relates to heart health and pain, yeah. Asthma. I mean, we're talking about a whole new era of medicine that you're one of the pioneers of, it sounds like.
Well, it's been my privilege to be a part of it. You know, the Bible speaks about out of the heart flow is the issues of life. And over 100 verses of scripture, they tell me, are related to the heart in the Bible. I used to think it was wrong. I used to think, well, no, it's really the mind up in the head. But when I was filled with God's Holy Spirit, all I can tell you is I felt like it was happening right in the center of my chest and my inner my being. And I believe that how heart math works is because it is in God's design for us. And it's beautiful. You asked the question about what we're doing with it. You're right. It's over 1,000 articles have been written in the literature, and if you go to heartmath.com, you can see a lot of the articles are actually cited there. And any chronic illness, whether it is rheumatoid arthritis or any particular chronic illness or a sudden acute illness like a heart attack, the heart rate variability is decreased. The level drops. And what that means is your heart is steady, which sounds like that'd be great, but it's not, because the heart then is not able to respond to energy demands that are throughout the day that are different. Mm-hmm. So it makes you more susceptible to a second heart attack if you had a heart attack, and one that may be lethal. In fact, there's a higher incidence of it, of having a second heart attack within a year that is more likely to be lethal. So what many cardiologists are doing and other people that are aware of this, they're using biofeedback which can actually train the heart rate variability to return to the normal level, and then that extends the life of those that have that problem. But the truth is, all of us are so under stress of life that our heart rate variability for many of us is low already. And you're right, it affects almost every, I'm sure, mental illness that there is, and not just mental illness, just dealing with life problems.
Yeah.
One of them is bereavement. If you lose your loved one, you know, it affects every area of your life, and the heart rate variability is low. So right now, my research for my dissertation is doing heart rate variability biofeedback for people that have had bereavement. And I'm already getting a good response from those that are doing it.
Dr. Graham, with groundbreaking research in heart math, studying that. Dr. Z, you were saying at the break that you were interested in Dr. Graham telling a story from the book.
We're getting close to the end. But Dr. Graham, when I first started reading your book, there was a great story. If you're comfortable sharing it with the audience,
yeah.
Kind of, early childhood about the graham crackers and milk, and that you would have graham crackers at kind of the midnight snack, which was really 10 o'clock at night with your dad. It was really the only time you had with your dad to get to know him better. And he had the Vienna sausages and buttermilk, and you had the homogenized milk that your mother was able to get for you. But something happened, and it was very frightening. Talk about a sympathetic response.
I can tell that story. What I will tell you is my father was doing construction work, building homes, and suddenly he got the idea of adding what he called a picture window in the front of the house for the living room. It was a big, you know, maybe 6 foot wide and 4 foot tall window. And when he did it, when he started adding that picture window, he announced in our home that the houses were selling like hotcakes. Well, that was very exciting, and my mother was very excited to hear that. And she said, well, you know, I would like a picture window as well in our home. Well, we had two little bitty windows in the living room that weren't big, and, you know, she had little curtains on them. There was very little light coming in. She wanted a picture window. My daddy said, oh, no, I can't take my men off work. And, I mean, we got to get one more house built. I mean, they're selling like hotcakes. And my mother slept over this, and the next morning she packed her bags and had bags packed and sitting at the front door. And she said, if your men aren't here and opening that and putting me a picture window in this afternoon, before this day's out, I'm out of here. And it petrified me. My daddy said, which my father would say, he said, no woman's going to tell me what to do. And he raced out to his car, and I chased him at the car. Unfortunately, he lowered the window down, and I said, Dad, don't leave. Send your men here. We need mother. I need mother. I was just, you know, really distraught. And I went off to school that day not knowing in the school bus. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'll tell you, when I came in from school about 4 p.m. in the afternoon and got off that school bus, there were men putting the trim on the picture window. And I was so happy. And my mother was standing out there watching it, and she was beaming. And my dad, when he came home, I hugged him, and I said, thank you, Dad, for putting that picture window in my mother's house.
What a wonderful story to wrap up this hour. Dr. Graham, I'm going to be calling you again. And at some point, we'd love to have you back on the show, especially following up on your research you're doing now. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's been a great hour. It just went by too fast.
It flew by. Dr. Graham, thank you so much. And we really would like to have you back on to tell more about what's going on with your research, more stories from Graham Crackers and Milk. What an incredible hour. Just flew right on by, Dr. Z.
Sure did.
It'd be my honor to be back.
Well thank you again.
Thank you so much, and hoping you finish up that dissertation soon. Anyone out there that's written one, know that the best dissertation is the one that's done.
Thanks. Thanks again, Dr. Graham. Love to have you back, and thank you folks for joining us. Go out and get Graham Crackers and Milk, food for the heart and soul, if there's still copies available. We'll see you next week.